Okay, for those of you listening on the radio, thank you again for being here. We're in Mind Character Personality, Volume 2, page 681. If you actually have the book, it's Chapter 37. And I think, LG, are you going to be able to read tonight, or what do you think? We could just read a couple. This is a short one, it looks like. All right, let me start off here. First one here is, hey there, Pete. How you doing, brother? Well, say hi to everybody there. How do you do? I think I only started saying hi when Steer came in because I got in here. I think I got in here after everybody else got in here already. So when I say hi, just assume it's a blanket hi, you know? Okay. So it's just me and Len. That's okay. All right, first one is, imagination leads to severe forms of disease, something that you just won't find in these kind of messages, this kind of truth, this kind of health message thing. You just don't hear this kind of stuff in those other churches. Why, I don't know. But anywho, she says, the mind needs to be controlled, for it has a most powerful influence upon the health. The imagination often misleads, and when indulged, brings severe forms of disease upon the afflicted. Many die of diseases which are mostly imaginary. I am acquainted with several who have brought upon themselves actual disease by the influence of the imagination. You know, if anybody else would have said this, I would have been a little bit hard and apprehensive to believe, but this is a prophet speaking, so it's a, you know. But I can't understand it, because imagination, we know what it does in the boy-girl intimate kind of a thing, you know, and how it affects the body. The body can literally physically react to it. And we know what worry does to the gut. You can imagine all sorts of things and burn a hole in your belly. I'm living proof of that, you know. I would have all these imaginations about, you know, especially when I was looking at some hard time back before I was a Christian. I did some stupid stuff, and I was scared, to be honest with you. And praise the Lord, he kept that out of there. He allowed that to disappear. But it'll cut a hole in your gut. Yeah, negative imagination. Good question there. Prayer before sleeping. With the bad dream thing. And another thing is, do not eat before going to sleep. That will allow you to have bad dreams. Your body is, there's a couple of reasons. This is a private message that was asked in regards to how to get rid of bad dreams. It doesn't have to be nightmares either. It could be dreams that some people would call good dreams. Oh, okay. Yeah, some people call them good dreams, but as a Christian, we're thinking, I don't want to dream about stuff like that. You know what I'm talking about. And the whole body has to sleep, not just the mind and all the flesh, but the gut, your stomach has to take a nap, has to get some sleep. And if it's sitting there churning and grinding and working on all that, you know, those tacos you ate for supper 2 hours before hitting the sack, is it going to, you know, you might even get a little bit of a tummy ache. Think about this. You get a little bit of a tummy ache in your dream, it becomes a massively scary situation. Because what is the first thing that you remember as a child when you would get scared? You get a tummy ache. At least I did. It makes your stomach upset. Like whenever a tornado would come down the road, I would literally end up in the bathroom. I don't know why, but it's just when I was a kid. They scared me. Because of what I went through when I was 12. Now it's, praise the Lord, he is, I'm still extremely concerned when a tornado is headed this way, but seeing how the Lord answers prayer, it's just another opportunity to put another chalk mark on the board saying he's done it again. We're up to 46 now, 46 in a row. Anyway, next one here is, people dying who might get well. Wait, Psalm 4 verse 8 says, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. But one of the steps, of course, being his will is, you know, you don't want to eat before sleeping. You know, if you're going to eat late at night, make it extremely light foods and at least three hours before going to bed. If it's a light, light food, some foods, you know, can be on their way and out the door, near the doorway, if you will, within 3 hours, to where it's not going to affect your sleep. Because you're always going to have something down in there, in your guts. You know, we all know when you eat lunch and then you go to the bathroom 20 minutes later, that was possibly dinner from the day before that you had to deal with. And so it's not, while you're sleeping, there is stuff going on. But your tummy, your stomach itself has to be empty. Otherwise, it's going to generate the bad dreams. That, and of course, what I like to do is I like to drift off and sleep either praying or thinking about walking around on, you know, evangelizing or talking about Jesus Christ on other planets. And no, I'm not waiting for a ship that's going to be inside of some comet tail to take me away. I'm talking about what Paul talks about with the other worlds, or Sister White happened to be envisioned on another world. I mean, this is a creator God that we worship. If we think he only created this one little blue orb in the middle of all this massive space, we're awful conceited. You know, and all those UFOs out there, they're not coming from other worlds. Those are demons acting like UFOs. Just like the demon that made it look like the sun was dancing in the sky in 1917 and they were able to photograph it. That was a demon. The same demon that made all that milk get sucked up into those stone figures on all the TV news back in the 80s. That's a demon. But, you know, I mean, I kind of had inside track on this, though, because I remember when the UFO craze started happening and everybody started getting into it and they got these little green men with these big eyeballs. And I says, wait a second, what are you calling that an alien for? That's one of the manifestations you get right out of the Book of Magic. That's not an alien. The green man with the bulbous head like a light bulb and the big diamond-shaped eyeballs, that's a demon. At least that's what the demon is supposed to be that you manifest out of the Book of Magic. Because when I used to mess with the cult, that's one of the things that you would go to conjure. I mean, I never did it, but it's in the book. That actual face is, and everybody thinks it's a friendly demon. I mean, a friendly alien with bony arms and green skin. No, that's an actual manifestation of one of Satan's little buddies. It's not no daemon, but it's a little guy, a little demon. So continuing, people dying who might get well. Yeah, like Casper. Thousands are sick and dying around us who might get well and live if they would, but their imagination holds them. They fear that they will be made worse if they labor or exercise when this is just the change they need to make them well. Without this, they can never improve. They should exercise the power of the will, rise above their aches and debility, engage in useful employment, and forget that they have aching backs, sides, lungs, and heads. Let me stop here for a minute. There's been times that I've been aching, but if I'm doing something I like, you forget about it. You know? Oh, go ahead there, Sister Lynn. You got a question? And I'd like to comment on that Casper thing, too, because that is true. There is such a thing as a Casper, but it's not with a C, it's with a K. But there was a question. Do you think soy milk is too heavy? No, I don't know. I can lift a whole gallon of that stuff. It's rather light. Okay, I know. No, it's not you know, really. I don't have a problem with it. We use it. We use the, we call the soy milk. It's just called soy milk. We tried the rice milk. I kind of like I like rice milk better than soy milk. I think it's tastier. But the kids don't, or at least Lee doesn't, and she's the one that does most of the soy milk drinking around here. And I never tried almond milk. I'd like to try that, but our health food store, you know, you get what you get. You know, you're out here in the middle of nowhere, and if Farmer Jones down the road don't like almond milk, it's not going to be on the shelves long. It's just like when you go to the IGA in our area, there's Boca Burgers that you don't want to touch with a 10-foot pole. Because they put a whole stack of Boca Burgers in their frozen meat section, and they've been there, I think, since they were invented. And, you know, they got freezer burn. I mean, because I bought a package from them once. Nobody buys them. And so you think, oh, well, you know, no, you take them home, and they've, you know, oh, it's bad news. Anyway, getting back to this Casper thing before I finish off this one. Because the Casper thing is actually, in the cartoon is set up to where Casper only shows up to little kids. If you notice the cartoon when we were kids, I remember Casper the Friendly Ghost. He was a cute little, you know, little spirit, I guess. He was only showing up to little kids. And except for his three uncles or whatever that would on occasion mess around with the adults and cause them problems. Casper is an actual manifestation. He is an actual demonic manifestation. The only difference is it's spelled with a K, but he will only show up to children. At least that's what the conjuring or the chant is designed to do. What they do is they take a young boy, usually a young boy, prepubescent, you know, a young kid, and they have a man, an adult, sit down on a chair, and they draw the little kid back into the, you know, the little kid goes between the adult's legs. You know, the man sits and his legs are spread a little bit so that the little boy can back into the man and, like, have his back against the man's chest so that the man can whisper into the little boy's ear. Because Casper does not want to hear the adult's voice. He only wants to hear the little kid's voice, right? So he whispers into the adult's ear a certain series of words, and the little boy is supposed to repeat them. And when the incantation is done, Casper will appear to the little boy, then they just converse back and forth. And that's where Casper the Friendly Ghost, supposedly Friendly Ghost, comes from. And so that's, a lot of that stuff you see in the cartoons is true. Like even with Popeye, I am that I am and all that I am, he's just blaspheming. He's making fun of our God. So, and the Popeye thing is with the single eye on the pyramid and all that. Yeah, a demon is a demon. I don't care how cute they want to be or how cute they want to try to be. But then he finished this one up. It says, she goes on to say that neglecting to exercise the entire body or a portion of it will bring on morbid conditions. Inaction of any of the organs of the body will be followed by a decrease in size and strength of the muscles and will cause the blood to flow sluggishly through the blood vessels. And I praise God for this kind of information, because I always got into exercise, not that, well, just to show off kind of exercise so that I can wear a muscle shirt. But I stopped working out for many years, and I got to the point where I started having the aches and the pains and all stuff all over the place. And so a few years later, I started getting back into the exercise, and I got to tell you, it does a world of good. It does a lot of healing. The aches and pains are gone, and your mind is quicker, and it just, everything works much better. It just seems to, it's good counsel. Amen to that.
Amen. I couldn't agree more. Need to get back into a consistent exercise program myself. And not only do you feel better, and as you say, mentally your mind is like sharper, but it helps to get rid of depression and things like that. Amen, Mr. Goyen. Your body is the temple of God. Amen. So continuing on, the next section is, imagination can control parts of the body. It is the lack of harmonious action in the human organism that brings disease. The imagination may control the other parts of the body to their injury. All parts of the system must work harmoniously. Dying of a diseased imagination. Once I was called to see a young woman with whom I was well acquainted. She was sick and running down fast. Her mother wished me to pray for her. The mother stood there weeping and saying, "Poor child, she cannot live long." I felt her pulse. I prayed with her and then addressed her. "My sister, if you get up and dress and go to your usual work in the office, all this invalidism will pass away." "Do you think this will pass away?" she said. "Certainly," I said. "You have nearly smothered the life forces of invalidism." I turned to the mother and told her that her daughter would have died of a diseased imagination if they had not been convinced of their error. She had been educating herself to invalidism. "Now this is a very poor school." But I said to her, "Change this order. Arise and dress." She was obedient and is alive today. Amen.
Amen. And boy, that word, that's not an easy word. Invalidism or invalidism, I don't know, forget it. Next one, imagination affected by disease. You are highly sensitive and feel deeply. You are strictly conscientious and your judgment must be convinced before you will yield to the opinions of others. Had your physical health been unimpaired, you would have made an eminently useful woman. You have long been diseased, and this has affected your imagination so that your thoughts have been concentrated upon yourself, and the imagination has affected the body. Imagination. Next one here is overcoming a diseased imagination. The light given me is that if the sister you mention would brace up and cultivate her taste for wholesome food, all these sinking spells would pass away. She has cultivated her imagination. The enemy has taken advantage of her weakness of body, and her mind is not braced to bear against the hardships of everyday life. It is good, sanctified mind cure she needs. An increase of faith and active service for Christ. She needs also the exercise of her muscles in outside practical labor. And I can't, I love the warm, like the summer months, you know, like the, from spring all the way through the fall. I'm outside as much as possible. Even in the winter, like today, we got into, like 51 degrees outside. I don't care if outside, the vitamin D from the sunlight and just being outside, it's very uplifting, and it does wonders for the body. So she goes on to say that physical exercise will be to her one of the greatest blessings of her life. She need not be an invalid, but a wholesome-minded, healthy woman prepared to act her part nobly and self, and well. I know I keep seeing other words is beyond me. All the treatment that may be given to this sister will be of little advantage unless she acts her part. She needs to strengthen muscle and nerve by physical labor. She need not be an invalid, but can do good, earnest labor. Like many others, she has a diseased imagination, but she can overcome and be a healthy woman. I have had this message to give to many, and with the best results. In other words, what I'm saying is true. It'll happen. I've seen it.
Amen. The next section, summon the aid of the will. Indolence is a great evil. Men, women, and youth are, by dwelling upon themselves, think they are in a much worse condition than they really are. They nurse their ailments and think of them and talk of them until their usefulness seems to be at an end. Hi, Erwin. They nurse their ailments and think of them and talk of them until their usefulness seems to be at an end. Many have passed into the grave when they might have lived and ought to have lived. Their imagination was diseased. Have they resisted the disposition to yield to infirmities and be overcome by them? Had they summoned to their aid the powers of the will, they might have lived to bless the world with their influence.
Amen. I guess I'll finish up with the last one here, which says, entitled, Deliverance from Sin and Healing Disease Linked. And, click that blue link that Bonnie just put in the room there, Erwin, so you can see what we're reading. We're on the very last one. Oh, okay. Yeah. Did you do that today? Yeah, I think I just got an email today of somebody re-registered today. Somebody that was grayed out, and now they're back. Cool. Praise the Lord. Welcome back. Oh, okay, this last one here. It's the last one on the screen. If you click that blue link, Erwin, and then just scroll all the way down. It's the very last one. It says, Deliverance from Sin and Healing Disease Linked. In the ministry of healing, the physician is to be a co-worker with Christ. The Savior ministered to both the soul and the body. The gospel which he taught was a message of spiritual and of physical restoration. Deliverance from sin and healing of disease were linked together. The same ministry is committed to the Christian physician. He is to unite with Christ in revealing both the physical and spiritual needs of his fellow men. He is to be to the sick a messenger of mercy, bringing to them a remedy for the diseased body and for the sin-sick soul. Amen. Body and soul. And there you have it for today. We've only got, we may as well cut it off here, but I'm sure the next one will be considerably longer than 10 minutes. You see, yeah, it's a big one. I just went to it. Number 38. Yeah, it's a good one. Hey, we'll do that one Wednesday night, of course. by God's grace. Amen. But good to see that you all made it here. And for those of you listening on the radio, I've been noticing the bandwidth has been slowly been going up there. Not like it was the other day. I'm telling you, we broke some records the other day. What was that, Friday night? That radio was really hogging the bandwidth. But it's only kicking out at 24 kilobytes, so it's going to have to hog an awful lot to cause a problem for a T1. So, but it was really slamming, which was good to see. Haven't seen that ever, that kind of. You know, it was pretty good. So, anyway, with that said, shall we finish in prayer? Unless anybody's got any questions or comments they'd like to share. I had something at the top of my brain here, and I don't know. Oh, it's floating out there somewhere. After this, I'm going to go run outside and see what the fog looks like with my 2 million candle-powered spotlight. I'm going to shine it on the woods and see if I get any glowing eyeballs coming back at me. Like the other day, I was coming home from me and Lee. We were, where did we go? I think we just went to IGA. Yeah, I think that's what we did. And as we're pulling in the driveway, it was dark. And the headlights hit the forest in the back. And the forest, we got a little miniature forest in the back, and it's about, I'd say, 1, 2, 3 garden hoses away from the house, which is 150 feet, I'd say, because I'm thinking of 50-foot garden hose, if that's a 50-footer. It could be a 100-footer for all I know, so it could be 300 feet away. And all these lights, you know, I shine it on the little forest back there, and all of a sudden, you know, all these little eyeballs are popping on. This is a, it was a pack of coyotes. And so we gingerly made it into the house. They won't come near the house, you know, when big adults are out there. They will come near the house when your pets are out there, though. And they lure the dog away. Like a female will come up and act like she's in heat to get the male to come and follow her, and vice versa. And the reason they do that is they usually do that when it's extremely, like a drought or a string of below 0 days, is because they're looking for food. They'll lure a family pet away, and the dog lures it to where the other coyotes are waiting, and then they just kill it and eat it. And it's not an easy death either, the way dogs fight. It's, you know, pretty bad. Anyway, Sister Lynn, would you like to close out in prayer?